the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. If you haven't caught on to the controversy about a recent ad from the United Church of Christ, then you've missed it. But it has hit the airwaves. I was on Good Morning America today talking about it, and we'll be on the ABC World News Tonight program with Peter Jennings tonight. And it is a controversy worth our attention because it touches so many of the most important issues of our day. Who is Jesus Christ? What is the gospel? What's the church all about? What should the media access be for messages such as this? Did Jesus turn anyone away, or did he just accept all persons, regardless of their sin and whether they intended to continue in it? All these issues are on the table with this advertising campaign by the United Church of Christ and its controversy, because the three national networks have now all rejected the ad, or at least in the case of one, they said they would reject it if it were presented. In the case of the other two, they already have rejected it. We're going to be talking about that in the next segment, but first of all, a review of the news. The Boy Scouts have been very much in the news because, of course, of the announcement that came just days ago that the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, had signed an agreement with the ACLU that would bar Defense Department employees and all defense installations from sponsoring Boy Scout troops. Now, I find this to be almost incomprehensible. It tells you about as much about where America is in the year 2004 as anything you can imagine. Because if the Boy Scouts are this politically incorrect, then what's left? I mean, we're not talking about some kind of explicitly a Baptist or Episcopalian or Catholic or Jewish group. We're talking about the Boy Scouts of America. The ground of offense is that they expect boys to have a belief in God, which the Boy Scouts unapologetically tie to their basic understanding of morality. It's a clear sign that the Boy Scouts of America believe that morality is established by a theistic God, that is, a God who has spoken his word, given his law, and whose own character grounds that morality. But that's just one thing. The other thing is that, of course, the Boy Scouts do not accept homosexual scout leaders. Now, I know that's a shock, but that's just common sense. And it should not even be controversial, but it is, of course. And what's controversial now is the decision by the Pentagon to bar the Boy Scouts. They say, by the way, rather condescendingly, that armed forces personnel can still be involved in Boy Scouts, but only unofficially, and they can't be sponsored by Defense Department installations. And there are other issues still hanging out there in the suit that was brought by the ACLU. That includes the fact that some of these Boy Scout jamborees and other events are held on Defense Department facility grounds, and so that's up. But now the United States Senate is taking some action, or at least proposing to take action, to remedy this situation. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist has introduced legislation that stipulates that no federal law, directive, rule, instruction, or order should limit any federal agency from providing support to the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, including meetings held on federal property. Well, by the way, Senator Frist turned out to be a former Boy Scout, and it is fascinating to see that at least the United States Senate is now awakened to this. Speaking of the NAACP, as we were speaking of different groups that have been active in the news, not only the ACLU but the NAACP, the announcement came just in recent days that Kwesi Mfumi, the president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, is resigning his post. It was a surprise to the NAACP and its membership. The reason he gave is that he has a 14-year-old son, his youngest, that he does not want to miss, given his responsibilities as NAACP leader. He's been away, and he said this, quote, "I don't want to miss another basketball game. I don't want to be absent from another PTA meeting. And since he's in his first year of high school, I want to be there to help sew the varsity letters on his sweater." Now, that is an altogether commendable reason. And by the way, I want to say that as a father, I'm touched by this father's statement of love for his son and his desire to be with him. But in the background of this, too, is the fact that the NAACP is badly out of step with this administration and with much of America. And its leadership, its position of leadership in the African-American community is very much at stake. And I'll just be honest, Kwesi Mfumi has not given the leadership this group needs, nor has the chairman of this group, Julian Bond, whose statements prior to the election have actually prompted an IRS investigation of the nonprofit status of the group. And there are those who believe that that's what's really behind Mr. Mfumi's resignation. Speaking of resignations, the president of the Human Rights Campaign, which is the nation's largest homosexual rights advocacy group, has also resigned. Cheryl Jacquis has announced that she is resigning, quote, for reasons of a difference in management philosophy. She denied that the resignation had anything to do with the November 2nd elections, but she went on speaking of herself and her board, quote, we didn't see eye to eye, but the reality is that a lot of terrific things happened. That statement, by the way, made by the chairman of the group, and it's one sign that on the left there's a great deal of confusion, a great deal of question about where they're going to go. Now that President Bush has been reelected and the American people have spoken in such a dramatic way, they're going to have to rethink the way they're going to present this, and we're going to watch it very carefully. Because let me tell you, the agenda isn't going to change, but the way they present that agenda very well might. Folks, do you have to be told that the Grinch is back? I'm not talking about the cartoon. I'm talking about the legal Grinches, those who are out to deny Christmas and to make it difficult for us to celebrate Christmas, and those who are out with their radar detectors to find the slightest Christian reference that they can be rid of. We're going to introduce a new segment in today's program. It'll be ongoing between now and Christmas. It's the Grinch Report.
You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch.
Well, Mr. Grinch has been up to it again. In this case, the Target Stores Company has denied access to the Salvation Army to stand outside its stores ringing the bells with the kettle in order to make collections for the Salvation Army. Target stores nationwide said that the Salvation Army personnel are no longer welcome along with volunteers because they're going to be doing something else. They're going to be doing another form of charitable contribution. And they said that some persons might be offended by the Salvation Army being out there. But, of course, one of the real issues here is that the Salvation Army is a clearly identified Christian charity that does good work. And enormous good work around the country. One of the most respected groups in America. And it is nothing less than tragic that the Target department stores would say that the Salvation Army now has to be kicked off because allowing them and not allowing others would be discriminatory. What they failed to present was any complaint that would bring this about. Any substantial complaint from any substantial number of persons. But in the true spirit of the Grinch, Target has kicked out the Salvation Army. The Grinch also showed his face in Oldham County, Kentucky, where the Oldham government, the county government, denied access to a church to have a living nativity scene on the courthouse square in that Kentucky county. Grace Baptist Church was told by the Oldham Fiscal Court that it could not have its living nativity scene on the courthouse lawn. The Fiscal Court said that it didn't want to risk another costly legal controversy. And by the way, that means that they've already gone through one legal controversy. And guess who's behind that? Yeah, you're ahead of me. The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU. The ACLU had complained that the Oldham Fiscal Court had allowed a living nativity scene and some signs and other things related to the Christian heritage of Christmas. And the fiscal court, the county government, was forced to defend itself. It eventually ended up paying $5,000 last time for the ACLU's legal fees. This time it simply told the church, you can't do it. And so much for that. But it's not just here in Kentucky. It's also in Colorado. In Denver, which will celebrate its Parade of Lights event this weekend, a church has been told, a pastor has been told, that it cannot feature a Christian theme on its float. There can be no such float. There can be no such theme. The Faith Bible Chapel in Arvada was told that religious messages aren't allowed because they might offend others. There you are. Someone's afraid they're going to be offended. So what instead do they have in the parade? Well, listen to this. The parade is going to include the Two Spirit Society, which honors gay American Indians as a holy people. Yeah, you heard that right. Gay American Indians as a holy people. And an Asian group that performs dances to ward off evil spirits at the start of the Chinese New Year. However, the director of the parade said that these are not expressing religious messages. So if you're a Christian, you're religious, but if you're Buddhist, you're not. And if you're warding off evil spirits through a dance, that's not religious, but if you're saying Jesus loves you, it is. Go figure. The Grinch is back, and we'll be following him day by day up until Christmas, because I tell you, this kind of atrocity is what really gives us a very clear and clean look at the worldview conflict in our time. Because what we see here is that there are some persons who are so offended by Christian references that they're basically on a lookout. They're looking to and fro across the world in order to find out who's been naughty and who's been nice, and who just might have let a Christian symbol or a Christian reference slip. The Grinch Report is going to be a feature because it tells us a great deal about where we are as a country and where we need to direct our concerns as well. But right now we're going to be talking about the controversy over an advertising campaign by the United Church of Christ. You'll want to know about it. It's going to be in today's news and tomorrow's as well, I'll expect, and for good reason. This is the Albert Mueller Program, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. I can tell you that my day today didn't go the way I expected it because I had no idea that this controversy was on the horizon, and I got a call after midnight last night asking me to be on the ABC Good Morning America program, and well, the day's pretty much been chaos since then because of one interview after another. And the cause of all of this is, of all things, an advertising campaign by a denomination, the United Church of Christ. And this advertising campaign is starting this week. It was to debut December the 1st. And yet today the big controversy is over the fact that three networks, and that is the big three, ABC, CBS, and NBC, aren't going to run the ads. Now, in the beginning, as the controversy emerged, it was CBS and NBC that had officially turned down the ads. Later, ABC, as I understand it, also said that they would not run the ads. CBS said that they were not running the ads because of the content of the ads, which they said was too controversial, dealing especially with the issue of homosexuality. And as a matter of fact, and surprisingly, at least in my judgment, CBS, through its executive offices, released a statement saying that with the executive branch, that's the president of the United States, proposing a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage, they weren't going to take this issue ad from the United Church of Christ. NBC simply said it was too controversial. ABC now says that it has a policy against running advertisements with religious themes. What's getting them so worked up? Well, why don't you hear it for yourself? Here is the advertisement, still speaking, as it was to have run on the networks from the United Church of Christ.
No. Step aside, please. No way. Not you. I don't think so. No.
The United Church of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here.
Okay, let's just take that apart for just a moment. You could not see, of course, the visuals going on there at the beginning, but you heard the words, step aside. No, no way, not you. I don't think so. No. These beefy black-shirted bouncers, that's the best word for it. That's the word used in the advertising campaign itself at the website. These bouncers are standing behind a velvet rope line outside a church, and they're saying to people, you can go in, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. And among the persons to whom they say you can't is a same-sex couple holding hands, and clearly the issue of homosexuality is back there. Now, what's going on here? First of all, the United Church of Christ, founded in 1957 through the union of several liberal denominations, represents the far, far hard left of Protestantism in America today. And you almost can't exaggerate that. You're talking about a denomination that takes about the most leftward liberal positions on social issues, moral issues, theological issues that you could imagine. The first denomination to ordain women to the ministry, the first to ordain homosexuals to the ministry, among the first to have congregations blessing same-sex unions and all the rest, opposed to the federal marriage amendment, very pro-choice, pro-abortion, pro you name it, there it is. And they've been losing members, surprise, surprise. Like the rest of liberal Protestantism, they've been losing members by the thousands, and they want to stem this. So what did they decide to come up with? An advertising campaign. That's right. When you've lost your theology, get a media message. And their argument is, hey, if we can run these ads, maybe we'll attract some new members and maintain our current members. Well, by the way, I think that is nonsense, and I would say that to evangelicals as much as to liberal denominations. You do not do evangelism by warm and happy, warm, fuzzy, short 30-second or 60-second commercials. That's not going to do it. That's not going to replace the preaching and teaching of the gospel, period. But you can understand the logic. They've got a product to sell the way they see it. They have an institution. They want more visibility. They've got churches that are losing members. Let's do an ad campaign. And their ad campaign is this warm, fuzzy, we're inclusive theme. But it really has a hard edge. I think it is a masterful piece of political propaganda. I mean that. Hats off to the guys that invented this in terms of the impact of this video. You know, showing these guys saying, you can't go in, you can't go in. What that implies is that conservative churches that believe in the Bible just exclude people by keeping them outside the church. And what about what they say about Jesus? Jesus didn't turn away people, and neither do we. Well, is that fair? Is that an accurate representation of Jesus? You see, here is the deal. The UCC, the United Church of Christ, through this ad campaign, is trying to say to people, you can be gay and it's okay. You can be a member of our church. You can come right in. Of course, you can be a clergy member of their church. You can be a minister of their church. And it's okay. Be homosexual, whatever. It's just a lifestyle option. We accept everyone, regardless of race, ethnicity, financial ability, sexual orientation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the way of Jesus. Except it isn't. Jesus did not say to sinners, continue in your sin. He didn't say about sin, it's no big deal. Folks, the church is made up of sinners saved by grace. Every one of us is a sinner. Every single Christian is a sinner saved by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are not, through the gospel, told that sin is no big deal. And we're not told that our sins are not sins. And we are not told to continue in our sins. To the contrary, we are told that the gospel is not only about how we can be forgiven our sins, but also how we can be transformed by the power of God to be who we otherwise could not be, to desire what we otherwise would not desire, to give up our own self-determination and instead to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very insidious message. I don't really care so much about the controversy over whether the networks run or do not run the ads. Frankly, all I want is fairness. But if they get to run these ads, then I guarantee you, evangelicals have some ads we want to run as well. If they want to get their message across, I guarantee you, we want to get our message across as well. There are all kinds of pro-life agencies, pro-life groups around the world, especially in this country, even in this local area, who've been trying to get anti-abortion ads, pro-life ads and commercials and messages on the screen. We've been unable to do that. Why? Because it's controversial. It might offend somebody. Well, I understand that. It's a two-edged sword. But fair is fair. And if we can't run our ads, I guess this group can't either. But there you have the concern. And by the way, the networks are a business. They operate like any other business. If they offend their customers, they won't have any business. And so there's a judgment call to be made here. All three of the networks appear to have made the same call. But that's not the big issue for me. And maybe some people today that want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is what they've done about the message of the gospel. I want to talk about the vision of Jesus that they present. I want to suggest to you that what they say, when they say that Jesus never turned anyone away and neither do we, they're right and they're wrong. They're right in terms of the fact that Jesus associated with sinners. He explained to his own disciples that he didn't come for the well. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. The sick need a doctor, and he is the great physician. He came to save us from our sins. But you know what? As much as that is right by saying that he accepted all who would come to him by faith, he didn't accept them on their own terms. By the way, you remember the story of the rich young ruler? When Jesus said, go sell all you have, give it to the poor, then come back and talk to me, he went away, sadly. What about the woman caught in adultery? Well, there is a picture of the grace and mercy of God, but what did Jesus say to her? Go on, return to your adulterous lifestyle? No, he said, go and sin no more. You see, one of the marks of authentic conversion is repentance. That's completely missing from this message. You see, I'm not so concerned about the controversy over whether the networks do or do not, will or will not run these ads, although that's a good discussion. I'm really concerned about what this says about the gospel. I want to know what you think. You heard the commercial with your own ears. What's your thought? Are you offended by this? How would you answer this advertising campaign? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-8255. This is the Albert Mohler Program. And the topic of our discussion is as fresh as today's network news. What about this advertising campaign? What do we say to those who say Jesus never turned away anyone, and neither do we? Give us a call, 877-893-8255. We'll be right back with your conversation.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
No. Step aside, please. No way. Not you. I don't think so. No.
The United Church of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here.
Well, that's the commercial, and there is the controversy. And it has led to a great deal of media coverage, and there are people talking about it all over the place. Some love it. There are some people who really think this commercial just is the most marvelous thing to encapsulate the good news of Jesus Christ. And there are others who say, this isn't the gospel. This is some kind of anti-gospel. And by the way, where is the church that has these bouncers at the front door? I've never seen such a church. Chris Matthews asked me that question from MSNBC's Hardball just a few minutes ago. And of course, that person doesn't exist. That church doesn't exist. And on the other side, you have the UCC saying, hey, there are all these other churches that aren't as inclusive as we are. Well, that is true in one very important sense, because every gospel church has to be as inclusive as the gospel itself. And that is to say, all who are weary, as Jesus said, come to me. We must call all persons to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that we can say to all persons, come and stay as you are. We can't say that to any sinner. We can't say that to any sinful lifestyle. The gospel isn't about how we can just feel better about ourselves. It's about how we can be transformed by the grace and mercy of God. Well, I want to know what you think. Give us a call, 877-893-8255. Let's go to Rob calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Ross.
Rob, Ross, whatever. Excuse me. Go right ahead. Sorry. It's down here is Rob. Go right ahead.
Not a problem. Yeah, you know, any church with any kind of a theology is seen as bigoted. If it doesn't bend to a certain theology, or you know, if we preach all Ten Commandments, that's seen as bigoted. You know, we are expected to accommodate all different lifestyles, and the only way we're to be set free in Christ is by accepting His entire message. And nobody is saying we don't love any sinners. We don't love gays. We do. My brother-in-law is gay. I love him very much, but it's about accepting the entire message of Christ.
Okay, Ross, let me just ask you a question. Does accepting a person mean accepting them, quote, as they are and leaving them where they are? Or with a gospel perspective, do we understand that Christ accepts them on the basis of faith and transforms them by the power of His atoning work?
We are to correct our brother if we see our brother sin. You know, if I see a friend that's being unfaithful to his wife, I'm not going to just stand by and say, hey, I accept you the way you are. No, it's in love correcting that person. And the church needs to do the same thing to all of us. I sin every single day. And the homosexuals are no different in that sense. But, you know, we are to welcome them into our churches with open arms, but not as their lifestyle is.
Yeah, well, I think you're exactly right, Ross. I think that's the problem here. We need to be as inclusive as the gospel. And there's that wonderful picture in the book of Revelation of men and women from every tongue and tribe and people and nation. And as the Apostle Paul, I think, would have us to see very clearly, drawn from every sinful lifestyle. We're all sinners saved by grace. Every single Christian is a sinner saved by grace. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian isn't the fact that Christians haven't ever sinned. It's that we've come to terms with the fact that our sin is the problem and we must repent of it. And know that the penalty for that sin can be paid only by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got others on the line with good points to make and some argument, perhaps, to make as well. We've got callers from Cleveland and Louisville, as well as hearing from Minneapolis. When I was called last night, I went immediately to the website of this particular campaign, and that's www.stillspeaking.com. And you can just go see it for yourself, and you can see exactly what they're up to. There's no hiddenness here. As a matter of fact, this is right up front. This is in your face. This isn't some kind of subliminal seduction. I mean, this is a very upfront kind of message. It's an in-your-face message. The picture of these black-shirted bouncers outside the church saying, not you, not you, no, you can't go in. That's a real insinuation that conservative biblical Christianity is about saying no to people. And brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that's what we're saying. I think we're saying no to sin, because that's the only thing we have to say that is truthful, that is honest, and that leads to that kind of honesty that points to the need of the gospel. Jesus Christ did not come to save us from our misconceptions that we were sinners. He came to save us from our sin. How in the world are we going to talk about that gospel if we're confused about what sin is, and if we refuse to call sin what it is? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This is Talk Worth Having, and I'm Albert Mohler. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, the controversy over this commercial series is likely to be pretty illuminating. I think it's going to be real interesting to see how people respond to this. The networks may reconsider whether or not they will run it, because there's a lot of outrage on the part of some that they haven't run it. If they do run them, well, we'll see where that goes. But now that they've decided not to, the controversy about that's pretty revealing in itself. And this morning I was on ABC News Good Morning America. I'll be on the ABC World News Tonight program tonight. And just had a quick word with Chris Matthews of MSNBC's Hardball program. You know, this controversy is interesting, I think, to the secular media, because it allows them to ask some questions about what Christians are really up to in our understanding of sin, of Christ, and, you know, who gets in and who isn't let in, and why, and how does all that come together? Now, I thought that I was really helping folks this morning when I made a very clear statement that we are all sinners. And I meant that in order to say that it's not just homosexuals who are sinners, we're all sinners. Each of us has our own pattern and profile of sin. And honesty compels that we be honest and direct and forthcoming about what that pattern is. But listen to this. I received an email from Frank in Texas who said, "You are quoted in a New York Times article today, quote, 'We are all sinners.' May I assume that by 'we' you're referring to yourself and a specific group not mentioned? More likely, however, I believe your 'we' refers to all human beings, and as such, I find your remark highly insulting, as," and he capitalized this, "I am not a sinner. In fact, I find the entire concept of sin to be a fiction used by charlatans to manipulate the gullible and the fearful. The type of truth," that in quotation marks, "proffered by you and your ilk is the kind which further enslaves the mind in fear and the spirit in distractions rather than raising them towards freedom. I wish you much failure in your work." Signed, Frank. Well, Frank, on behalf of me and my ilk, your message is actually helpful, because we now understand even in a more clear way where we stand. And that is that the very idea of sin is absolutely intolerable, not to be tolerated by many people in society today, and Frank from Texas first among them. There's some who think that perhaps this ad series is a good idea. Others think it's a bad idea. I want to know why. Let's go to Victor, calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on WHK Radio. Victor, welcome to the program. All right, we lost Victor. Let's go to Bruce, calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Bruce, go right ahead.
Yes, I think that the ad is not too representative of the churches, because, you know, Jesus was controversial to the people who didn't want to change around him, so we can't expect to not be controversial to people who don't want to change today.
Well, Bruce, what about the people who say we're just being too offensive? We've got to be a little less offensive if we're going to get a hearing in postmodern American culture. I mean, what's your response to that?
Well, I mean, the response that Jesus gave was that love covers over a multitude of sin, but he still called sin, sin. You know, I mean, you have to love each person individually. And like you stated earlier, you can't do a broadcast ad and expect people to change who they are.
Yeah, Bruce, you know, I think one of the difficulties for all of us is taking the real Jesus as presented in the Bible in his wholeness. And that means everything. We've got to take everything Jesus said. Every single word of the Bible is inerrant and infallible. And we can't pick and choose among the statements of Jesus that are more comforting to us, because Jesus said it all. In fact, back several years ago, there's an entire series of books that came out on the hard sayings of Jesus. It was Jesus who said, "I came to bring not peace, but a sword." It was Jesus who said, "He who is not willing to leave mother and father and sister and brother is not worthy of the kingdom." Jesus said all kinds of hard things. He said a hard thing to the rich young ruler, which was why he went away. That is, the young ruler went away. He did not follow Jesus. Jesus said some hard things. He said, if you will not eat my blood, that is, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And at that point, the audience began to grumble, and even some of his disciples, we are told, walked with him no more. There are some people that just want kind of a happy Jesus. Jesus, a modern therapist. Jesus, our happy counselor. Jesus, our motivational speaker. That's not the Jesus of the Gospels. Jesus had so many wonderful things to say about our salvation and about the grace and love of God. But that was all within the context of honesty about why he came in the first place, and that was to save us from our sin. Bruce, thanks for your call. We're going to go to Ben calling from Brandon, Florida. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Mahler. Yes, I've seen that commercial, and it really upsets me because, like I was just talking to your screener, and he put it in the great words that we're trying to compromise our theology. That's what they want us to do, and they want us to just say it's okay because they have all these governmental rights, you know. And if a Christian was to put in an ad in the, you know, a commercial, you know, with the Ten Commandments or something on that, you know, they would be all over that and saying that we're wrong and this and that. They're just, everybody wants to do what they want to do in this world. Like I try to tell my kids, even though I'm a grown man, I can't do what I want to. There's rules in life, and there's rules basically that God has set forth
yeah.
for us. And people don't want to, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect. People just don't want to do what they're supposed to do. Everybody
yeah.
wants to.
Well, what we don't want is to be corrected. We want to be told soothingly that what we are doing is fine and who we are by our own self-identification is okay and everything's acceptable. And as a matter of fact, one of the themes of liberal theology has been that love is acceptance. Well, love is not accepting what's unacceptable. That's not love. That's something very, very different than love, and it leads to something very, very different than our salvation. Let's go to Paul. Paul, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. What do you think about this ad campaign?
Well, I'm kind of divided, but in Philippians, I can remember reading that Paul said that some were teaching.
Okay.
Out of selfish ambition.
Right.
And he said he didn't, what then, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Because if the sinner that's not coming to church is ever going to repent, the Word of God is what can make him do that.
Well, I agree, Paul, but what about a church that says, you come and we won't even tell you what you're doing is sin?
Well, if they're not going to tell them, that, if they're not going to preach the gospel, then it's a waste of time. But
yeah, well, I'm with you on that, Paul. I think if they're not going to preach the gospel, it's a waste of time, that's for sure. Well, you know, this controversy is producing both heat and light. And the heat's coming from the big question that a lot of people in the secular world are concerned about, and that is, were the networks right to reject the ads? I think the light can come by considering what this tells us about our evangelistic challenge in this postmodern age. And I think it can tell us what we need to know about the danger of theological liberalism. What happens when a church begins to abandon the truth of the gospel? And to package the gospel as something very different, kind of a feel-good message of unconditional acceptance. The gospel is not about unconditional acceptance. It's about acceptance because of Christ's work to save sinners. I'll be back with some final thoughts in just a moment. This is the Albert Mueller Program. It's time for honesty, folks. Let me just level with you. I am not a morning person, and that's an understatement. I work late at night. That's when I do my writing and my reading into the wee hours of the morning. I don't know how these morning television people do this. I mean, the Today Show, Good Morning America, you know, they have to be in the studio like 3:30 in the morning getting ready. You know, that to me is about time to go to bed, not time to get up and start talking on television. But this morning I was up with the chickadees in order to talk about this issue and this controversy. And it's because I think it's important. In fact, when I was called and invited to do this, I thought, you know, I need to talk about this because the gospel's at stake. And that's the big point, isn't it? The gospel's at stake. This advertising campaign, as propaganda brilliant as it is insidious in that it implies the gospel is something other than what Jesus said it was. You see, I believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe it's inclusive. How inclusive is it? It's to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, says the Apostle Paul. It's for all persons. All who come to the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's how inclusive it is. But the gospel is not inclusive of lost persons who remain lost, of sinners who are determined to love their sin. That's the real tragedy here, is that I think there'll be some people who will come and be attracted to this message and think, you know, I don't have to change anything and I can be a Christian. Well, here's the bad news. We can't change. But here's the good news. God will change us by his grace and mercy through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's even more miraculous. It's even more tremendous and powerful than that, because not only will we stop doing what we were doing, we will have our affections, our emotional profile, our desires transformed by the power of God. That's what we have to pray for. That's what we have to yearn for. And that's what we have to believe, because it is the gospel. It's not sinners come and remain in your sin. It's sinners come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Folks, if we get the gospel wrong, we've got everything wrong. And if we get something this central to the gospel wrong, it doesn't matter how many good things we do or how nice we are. We're leading people to death rather than to life. The gospel is politically incorrect. It's hard to tell people they're sinners. But that is the reality. Jesus did that. The disciples did that. The apostles did that. And all true churches everywhere preach the authentic gospel. We have to be clear about what sin is in order that we can be honest about who Christ is, why Christ came, what Christ accomplished, and how we can know everlasting life, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting in fellowship with God because of what Christ has done. Well, the medium is the message, they say. And this commercial helped to make the point today. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about what matters. I'm Albert Mohler.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Mohler's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.